Jessica Stern is an expert on terrorism. She served on President Clinton's National Security Council and is now a lecturer at Harvard. She's also the author of the book Terror in the Name of God, Why Religious Militants Kill. That book broke new ground in exposing the reasons why people become terrorists. And her new book takes that theme one step further, but it views terrorists through a much more personal and ultimately more frightening prism. It's called Denial, a Memoir of Terror. And Jessica Stern joins us from our sister studio, WGBH, in Boston. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
I found it fascinating that one of the reasons that you became interested in writing this book was because other people didn't quite understand your fascination with terrorism and with terrorists. And it seems you yourself didn't entirely understand what drew you to studying terrorists.
That's true. It's hard to imagine now, but I really didn't understand why I was drawn not just to studying terrorists, but actually talking to terrorists until I was midway through this book about my own terror.
And that's one thing that you had done that many terrorism experts had not done before. You spoke with the terrorists themselves. It sounds odd, but people point to that as being kind of a breakthrough in trying to understand terrorists by going to them and asking them why they do what they do. Is that right?
Yes. It's something that political scientists don't generally do. It's considered to be journalistic, but which is not flattering for a political scientist, I'm sorry to say. But I was very, very curious, and I didn't think about why I was so curious. I just followed my curiosity.
You started to write this book, tracing back your own history of trauma, and you made some discoveries along the way, which we'll talk about. But first, let's talk about what happened to you and your sister when you were in your teens.
A man walked into the house with a gun. I grew up in a small town called Concord, Massachusetts, and people left their doors unlocked. It was such a safe town. And he commanded us to do his bidding for the next hour, marching us around the house and insisting that we put on our little sister's clothing and also raping us.
And you later actually teamed up with an investigator to track down who this person was. It was not investigated in your town, at least not to any real extent, right?
The police didn't believe my sister and me that we didn't know the perpetrator. And it was just at that time almost impossible to believe that such a violent crime would occur in Concord, Mass. However, just 2 years before, there had been two rapes at Concord Academy. And somehow the police who investigated that case didn't pull it together. And in that file, there was a list of 20 attacks at or near Radcliffe in an 8-block area. So there was a lot of information that somehow fell through the cracks.
So you recognized in yourself symptoms of PTSD. It led you to start investigating what had happened to yourself. The police reopened the case in 2006, and you actually tracked down the man who was probably responsible, who by that point had died. He'd hung himself. Is that correct?
He hung himself when he got out of prison. He was incarcerated for 3 of the 44 rapes that we believe that he committed. Actually, there may be many more, but that's the number the police were able to identify.
And really what's fascinating about this is that you discovered that the sort of emotional detachment that was an unfortunate result of this trauma in your childhood ended up making you uniquely fit for not just studying terrorism, but for understanding and interacting with terrorists. It made you calm.
Yes, it did. And I think that that's not unique to me. I think that some people who have been exposed to severe trauma develop this weird calm in the face of danger.
Jessica, let me ask you. You talked about an article that you published in Foreign Affairs in January, where you were writing about the sexual abuse of boys in Islamic religious schools. And you said you'd known about this happening for years and years, but until you'd written this book about your own experience, you didn't actually make the connection between what may be happening to boys in Islamic schools and how they then may be recruited as terrorists. That humiliation, you said, is a risk factor for becoming a terrorist. Can you explain that to me?
Well, the terrorists I interviewed all talked about humiliation. They talked mostly about what they call civilizational humiliation, the fact that Islamic civilization was once the greatest civilization on earth and fell behind intellectually, politically, economically. And terrorists often describe that as humiliating and blame the West. But I also did know about this more personal kind of humiliation that some of the jihadis have experienced. And I didn't put it together. I never wrote about it. I was sort of embarrassed or ashamed. I didn't feel that I was the right person to write about it until I wrote this book.
And yet you also commented in the article that I read in the New York Times, you went on to say, but why humiliation in some places and some people but not others? Harvard is a humiliation factory, and yet we don't produce a lot of terrorists. So have you had any other insight on what other pieces, what other risk factors may be involved?
Well, some scholars believe that humiliation in the context of an honor culture is more likely to lead to violence. And also there's the theory that it's very much dependent on who you know. This is the so-called bunch of guys theory, that you get drawn in through your contacts. And if you happen to live in an area where there are gangs, you might get drawn into a gang. You're more vulnerable if you feel dissed or humiliated.
So has this also given you insight in how this chain can be broken? Not just because you yourself are a victim. Can we find other victims and stop this, stop that transition from victim to terrorist from occurring?
Well, I think that terrorism really is, it's partly theater, and terrorists are very, very concerned about the image they present, not only to potential recruits, but also to the rest of the world. And I think it's critically important that we tell the stories of individuals who come out because they realize that their bosses are not living up to the standards that they claim to believe in.
So by sharing your own personal story, have you then gotten a reaction from your colleagues, your fellow terrorism experts, on things they may have learned from your story?
Well, I will tell you that I'm hearing a lot from military personnel who spend time in Afghanistan. I'm getting a lot of emails and comments from soldiers who have witnessed the rape of little boys. Usually on Thursday nights, it's called man-boy loving nights. And I think it's very, very upsetting to our troops. But they, too, are afraid to talk about it.
Okay, the book is called Denial, A Memoir of Terror. It's by Jessica Stern, who also wrote Terror in the Name of God, Why Religious Militants Kill. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.